Good morning, everyone. We'll try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There you go. Now we're living and kicking. Anyway, I just want to say I'm sorry I missed last Sunday because we had this children's program, but I actually didn't miss you because I was on Zoom and YouTube. So yes, I know we thanked each other last week for the kids on. But I just want to thank the kids and all the teachers and leaders. And I know Esther's not here. She did a lot of work. And Lillian and other people. So thank you so much. It was awesome. I actually got to watch the service with my mom. And we watched the whole thing. And thanks for praying for my mom and dad. As some of you know, I was hoping to see my dad, but he is still in hospital. He did not get out. The goal was for him to get out the Monday that I was there, but he's still in the hospital. They still have to balance out his body, his lungs and meds, and it's a bit complicated. But they're hoping the 23rd, but we'll see what happens on that. So appreciate prayer. My mom and dad are going through a hard time. My mom lost her closest sister to COVID just on Wednesday. She was 93 years old, and so we're very sad about that. But she was a missionary in Japan, just like my mom and dad. She was a trooper. She was a lover of the Word of God and Jesus himself. So we know where she is. So we thank the Lord. Okay, before I get started, I had a little sneak peek of the slide already as we were singing. But anyway, this is the SUV that with your donations we purchased. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it got down to Safe Care. So they sent us a few photos. And where's the other photo? Not sure what happened to the other photo. Oh, there it is. Okay. So the lady, Cindy, she's the one who drove it all the way down to Mexico. And she's from Calgary, and she's a board member of Safe Care. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to go down there and serve there anyway, so I'll take the car down with you. And so thanks for Henry, because he brought it down to Calgary, and they met, and she picked it up from there. And the car, she's a really tall girl, eh, lady? So, yeah, but, well, she got it down there anyway. So thank you so much for helping with your donations. And it's still ongoing, and I know Lillian with the children have been raising funds for Safe Care and gifts and stuff, and I believe we have just over $100 raised. And I saw a few more, a little bit more money going in the jar this morning. So just keep up the good work. The more the better. And then eventually we'll send that down there and it'll really bless them. So I told Wayne and Claire about that. And so they're very, very blessed and they send their thanks to you. One note about Claire. She told me a couple of weeks ago that she was diagnosed with epilepsy. And so I kind of knew something was going on before they left. But she asked for prayer, and I'm not sure what kind of medical help she has, but I'm sure she has something, but do pray for Wayne and Claire and Cindy and the rest of course, the Mexican staff at Safe Care during this time. Okay, so you've heard this passage before, already this morning, but I think I want to read it again. This is Luke chapter 1.
Luke.
Okay. Does that mean you want me to send them down, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so preschool kid, just a young class can go downstairs. Sorry about that.
Yeah, ages.
Okay, all right. 2 to 5. See you later, kids. Sorry. Nearly had you trapped up here. Okay. So Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Lord God gave him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and now is in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year, and we recall and remember this holy encounter that Mary had and that Joseph had. And remember your birth, your great incarnation, the marvel of the mighty God coming down to be a human being just boggles the mind, and yet it is true, a gift to us. And so speak to us, Lord, through your word, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad I remember this, but we do have a Christmas Eve service this weekend. What day is it? Is that Thursday? Thursday evening. So I'm not sure how we missed it in the bulletin, but we did. So that's why Henry wasn't saying anything, because it wasn't in the bulletin. Hey, Henry. So 7:00 Christmas Eve. Both worship teams are getting together and reading special stuff. So come on out. It should be great. So in the last couple months, we've been talking about Jesus' conversations with various people. That Jesus was willing to have a conversation with the Samaritan woman who was basically an outcast, or even that he would talk to a sinner like Zacchaeus because he was a cheating tax collector. You wonder what Jesus was up to as he encountered these people. I mean, if he's so willing to connect and talk to sinners like them, don't you think he's willing to have a conversation with you? And he is. And if he wants to have a conversation and have a conversational relationship with us, it only makes sense for us to learn how to respond to his voice. Because apparently, Jesus is reaching out to us. That's what those stories tell me. You know, many people don't recognize the voice of God because their lives are filled with many distractions. That's what the parable of the sower actually teaches us. God's word grows in the souls of those who are free from distractions because they're listening. They're listening. And so we need to learn to listen to God's voice and God's word to us. We have to learn to be responders to God's word. You know, I remember when I was a child, we would often have missionaries and respected preachers and evangelists in our home in Japan. And it was always awkward knowing what to say to these spiritual giants. At least I view them as spiritual giants. And so this is where my parents tried to help me and try to coach us. And so before the guests arrive, of course, my mother told us children to go clean your rooms and make sure the house is all straightened out. She would then get us to set the table and then remind us to pay attention to the guests and not to be impolite and run off to our rooms too quickly. Be on your best behavior, quit fighting with your brother, that kind of stuff, right? All prep stuff for the guests to come. And so when the guests arrived, they were always friendly, and I remember them always showing an interest in us children all the time, asking us questions about ourselves. But we were shy and felt insignificant and didn't know what to say back to them, so my parents would try to help us along and to respond to their questions and respond to their, in a sense, their voice. And so to this day, I have fond memories of these visitations from these spiritual giants in my life. So in a similar way, we too must learn to respond to God as he speaks to us. God wants us to know his will. That's why he wants to speak to us. He wants to be in conversation with us so that we become followers who actually obey him. Now, Jesus, of course, has left this earth. His physical encounters with people came to an end as he went into heaven. And he's the eternal God, he's the Savior and King. But this doesn't mean that Jesus' conversations suddenly stopped or that God has stopped speaking to us. Far from it. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, this is John 14, 15 to 18. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Other translations say comforter or encourager, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, that is, followers of Jesus. You know him because he lives in you and now and later will be in you. So Jesus is saying to us, if you believe in me, I will send you my Holy Spirit, my advocate. And my Holy Spirit will speak right within your own spirit. He will tell you what you need to hear. And he wants you to lead you in his truth so that we obey his commandments. That's what he wants us to do. During Jesus' time on earth, many didn't recognize God or Jesus because they were not looking for him and they were distracted by many other things. And this is why I want to turn to the story or Jesus' encounter, God's encounter with Mary, with her encounter with Gabriel the angel. So this story is not technically an encounter with Jesus because Jesus is not even born yet. But of course, it is an encounter with God all the same through his angel Gabriel. God is eternal, and he's been speaking to his children really from the beginning. So from this encounter, we learn Mary's own experience, some valuable lessons on how to respond to God's voice. Now, before we look at her actual response, we need to know something. First of all, know that God is graciously speaking to the weak. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, Mary refers herself to the lowly servant girl. She has no power. She has no status in her world. She was a virgin engaged to be married to Joseph, and she was probably only 12 to 13 years old. Can you imagine that? She was just as ordinary as you get. You would have expected God to, you know, make this world's greatest announcement to someone who had some status or significance, like a priest in the temple. Well, ironically, Gabriel did speak to someone in the temple. Remember the story just before this story? He spoke to Zechariah in the temple, and he made the announcement that his own wife, Elizabeth, even though old in age, would be pregnant and give birth to a son. But Zechariah, this elderly veteran priest, doubted the word of God because he didn't believe God disciplined him, and so he was unable to speak. God shut him up until he believed. Unbelief hinders our ability to hear God's voice. But here we have a young girl. She is weak in the eyes of society and of men, who did not have any priestly qualifications that Zechariah had. She is young, she is ordinary, she is female, she is poor, and all these things would have stacked up against her. But God graciously shows his favor to her, even in her weakness. You know, some people believe or think they are not qualified to be in relationship with God. They feel shame. They feel dumb. Now, believe me, none of us are qualified to be in relationship with God. None of us are qualified to speak with God. It is only by His grace can any of us have a relationship with God. But God shows Himself to the weak so that the power of God might be shown to us. And so 1 Corinthians 1:28 says, God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And so we are weak in God's sight. We are people who are sinners and sometimes weighed down by sin. Fear paralyzes us. But through God's powerful grace, He freely gives us His forgiveness, and we repent when we repent from our sins. And when we are broken before Him, we experience His grace and love. And so fear and insecurity begin to fade as we learn to trust in Jesus day by day. In terms of Mary's response, we learn that she was troubled, but she responded with thoughtfulness. When Gabriel told her that she was favored and that God was with her, in verse 29 in the NIV it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now the Greek word for wondered is dialogistico, which means to think or to use reasoning. In other words, when the angel appeared to her, Mary is struggling to understand and to believe what she is hearing from the angel. Now, let us not assume that, you know, these angelic encounters are normal for that generation. It wasn't normal, okay? It's just maybe like us today. It's not normal. But rather than her encounter, considering this encounter with the angel as just foolishness or write it off as some crazy vision, Mary responds with thoughtfulness. She is thoughtfully thinking and processing what this could mean. She is trying to figure out in faith how this all could be true. And we should do the same thing. Now, listen again to the angelic message and try to understand maybe her thought process. So the angel said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son. So try to imagine this. You're 13 years old, and you're trying to process the possibility of becoming pregnant and giving birth to a baby boy, and you know in your heart of hearts that you have had no sexual relationships with her fiance, okay? That's a lot to think about. Totally. So it's only natural for her to ask the question, how can this be? I'm only a virgin. Yet she had the faith to ask and inquire of the Lord. She did not laugh it off. She was thoughtful. She was a thinking girl. And we need to do the same. When God speaks, sometimes it's not all clear right away. And yet, she thinks through this thing, and she asks a question. She asks the Lord, and we should too. But she also had to think through who her son would become. I mean, it's one thing to be pregnant, but suddenly you hear this voice about who the son is going to be. So listen again. He will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, here's this Jewish girl, and there's nothing in her theology that taught her that a human baby boy could be divine. It's just not something you think about. So Gabriel's announcement, the greatest announcement to the world, was so big, was so profound, no one would hardly believe such a thing. Essentially, Gabriel is saying the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, who will not only reign over Israel, but over a new kingdom and beyond Israel's borders, then it will last forever. And by the way, Mary, the Almighty God will come upon you, and born from your womb will come a baby boy. I mean, that is a lot to process for a 13-year-old girl. You know, it's one thing to become pregnant as a virgin, but quite another to be told you will birth the Almighty God as a baby boy from your own body. I mean, we hear the story over and over again every Christmas, but you have to consider how incredibly profound this message was. You know, as we said again a few Sundays ago, the foolishness of Christmas and the foolishness of Christ for our salvation was a stumbling block to the Jews and the Greeks, because it just doesn't make any sense. I was reading, actually listening to a book by Nabil Qureshi, his book called Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. And he said that as a former Muslim, to even consider God to be born a human not only made no sense to him, it was completely offensive to him as a Muslim. And this may not be far off from what the Jews would have thought too. Offensive. There's a lot to think about for this young girl. But Mary does not push the announcement aside as foolishness, as mind-boggling as it was for her. Instead, in faith, she thoughtfully weighs the evidence of what she just heard. Although scared and confused, she thoughtfully believes that there must be something to the authority of this word coming from the angel. And so she is a courageous girl. The clarity and the wonder of the announcement just cannot be ignored by Mary, and neither should we ignore the world's greatest announcement. God has come in human flesh to save the world. Mary also responded with honesty and openness. So she said to Gabriel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." You know, God has a long history of speaking to his people, whether this be Moses or Abraham or Isaac. Because God is a loving and personal God, he allows for us to respond to him with honesty and openness. She is afraid. She is confused. But she doesn't simply say, "Oh, well, you're God's angel. I'll just take your word for it." It wasn't like that. She is like us, but she responds with thoughtfulness and honesty with this question. She will not compromise her engagement by having sex with Joseph. So her request is actually born out of both honesty and integrity. How can this be? I'm a virgin, and I intend to remain a virgin until I get married. There is room for honest doubt, but this is very different from what Tim Keller calls dishonest doubt. So what's the difference? Dishonest doubt says, "Now that's a crazy idea, or that's impossible, or that's stupid," and then we walk away without any further engagement from God. We hear something, we think it's stupid, but those who don't engage, or dishonest doubt, simply walk away. They won't even ask God questions. Instead of thoughtful engagement with the Lord, dishonest doubt fails to do the hard work of thinking in faith through what God might be saying to us, what God is speaking to Mary about. And so Mary was honest and willing to ask the hard questions of the Lord. And she was humble. She was not arrogant. She doesn't want to turn off her mind, and neither should we. We need to process these things. He invites us, God invites us to respond to Him with openness of heart because He really wants us to know the mind of God. And so when you think about responding to God, God gives His children permission to ask questions because it's an evidence of trust and faith. We don't know everything. We have to ask Him. And so we ask Him in prayer, and He wants us to give us His mind. And so God is looking for teachable and open people to Himself. And when we fail to be open with God, we fail to live in relationship with Him. And we fail to listen and respond to the Lord. All we do is practice dead religion. If there's no conversation, if there's no prayer, if there's no engagement, then all we practice is dead religion. Lord, give us the humility and the teachability to be honest with You about the questions we have. Finally, Mary responded by surrendering herself completely to God. This is absolutely so key. Many people say they cannot hear the voice of God, but a big reason why is because they have never surrendered their life to God. That's it. That simple. They've never surrendered. The angel Gabriel replied to Mary's question about how she became pregnant, how she could become pregnant as a virgin. And he replied saying this, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. And then what's more," Gabriel adds, "your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived. For the word of God will never fail," or as the NIV more famously says, "for nothing is impossible for God." So here is God giving Mary all the reasons to trust the message of the angel. So His message came with authority, it came with clarity, but it also came with this preciseness, actually naming a relative, Elizabeth. She's pregnant 6 months in her old age. I mean, this is clear, unmistakable stuff. All she has to do is prance down near Jerusalem and check it out for herself. Check it out, Mary. It's all true. But the clincher are the last words. "For nothing is impossible for God." I mean, these are absolutely convincing words for us. All we need to do is remember the many times God did the impossible in God's history with Israel. He opened up the Red Sea, didn't He? Impossible, but He did it. He fed them manna from heaven, a miracle again. He gave them water from a rock, miracle again. He defeated the whole army with 300 weak men. And then that's just the beginning. We could say so much more. And so, nothing with God is impossible is really capturing the whole of God's history with Israel. And based on the angel's message and the evidence of what he heard, what she heard, Mary surrenders herself to God completely, and she says this, "I am the Lord's servant, and may everything You have said about Me come true." I mean, what a phrase. 13 years old. "Lord, I am Yours. I belong to You. I am Your servant. I will trust You that everything You have said will come true in my life." I mean, that's surrender. When Mary surrendered herself to God, what did she do? She obeyed. And when she obeyed, the Lord showed her and Joseph the way forward, even though they didn't know the way forward. It was filled with obstacles and threats to their own lives. So immediately what she did is walked in obedience. She obeyed and she went down to see her relative Elizabeth. That's obedience. The evidence of a surrendered life is simply this. You obey. You obey. Jesus says in John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus is saying, if you are going to become like me, remember, I did the same thing. I obeyed my Father's commandments, and my children do the same thing. So God used her obedience to confirm the angel's message to her. And just as she was told, her barren relative was already in her sixth month of pregnancy, and they had a great old time together, fellowshipping and encouraging one another. In time, as you well know, Mary then gave birth to Jesus from her own womb, just as the angel had announced. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. She responds by surrendering herself to God. That should be the posture of every single genuine Christian. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Is the question. Have you? You know, some people think that the Christian life is about having God in your back pocket. And you only go to your back pocket when you think you're in trouble. That's kind of like saying, you know what? All Jesus is good for is a 911 call. That's it. A.W. Tozer said this, we make Jesus Christ a convenience. We make him a lifeboat to get us to shore, a guide to find us when we are lost, and we reduce him to simply to be a big friend to help us when we are in trouble. Basically saying the same thing, isn't he? Then he says, this is not Christianity. Remember, Jesus is Lord. But when man is willing to do his will, he is repenting and the truth flash is in. Oh, have you surrendered to Jesus? We can learn from a 13-year-old girl in her simplicity. Lord, I am your servant. I trust that what you have said will come true in my life. Many people don't really follow Jesus because too many of God's commands are an inconvenience to them. They want to determine their own future. They still want to be in control. But God wants us to trust him with our future, just as Abraham did. Because he had no idea what was in his future. Some want a comfortable salary and a comfortable home, but they make no effort to trust God, what they will eat and what they will wear and what their next home would be. God says, I will provide for you if you trust me. They still want control over their life. I hope that's not us. But in the example of Mary, maybe not even 13 years old, she understands that to follow Jesus, to follow the living God, means being his servant. That's what we become. But we're privileged servants of the living God. I am the Lord's servant. May what you say about me come true. And so she became a servant of God who responded to God with humility, with thoughtfulness, with openness, and with surrender. And so by the grace of God, may we respond to the voice of God with the same spirit and say maybe daily. Lord, I'm your servant. I am listening. May I obey. Let's pray. Lord, as we think about this season, the Advent season of remembering your first coming, may we not make it about festivity and food, even though we can enjoy these things. But may it be about you coming into this earth, breaking the doors open, forgiving our sins, so that we can walk in right relationship with you, so that we can have a friendship with you, a peace with you, a beautiful relationship of conversing and asking and talking, so that we're so changed from the inside out, and the peace of God and the love of God is so evident in our lives that we become witnesses for you, and so change the world through us. But first, we must be people who are surrendered, your servants, and may that happen within this congregation, within this body. And so stir within us, Lord, the spirit of being a servant, of listening and obeying, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.